All right, if we can turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke. We're back in our continuing on with our studies in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8 tonight. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 15. So Luke chapter 8. And 1 through 15. And if we can read those verses together, that'll be good. Luke chapter 8 and verses 1 through to 15. So we'll start there in verse 1 and read together. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock, they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you again for the privilege of coming together. I thank you for everybody who's taken the time to be here. And Lord, I pray for you to speak to every one of our hearts. Use your word, Lord. We know it's quick, it's living, it's powerful. And Lord, may you speak to each of us, encourage, challenge, whatever it is you'd have for us tonight. And Lord, may we be not just hearers, but doers of your word as well. And so we want to give you thanks and look forward to how you're going to speak to each one of us. And we pray and ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we come back there to verse 1. And the Bible says, And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And we notice in this, and we've seen in other places, the Lord Jesus had a very extensive ministry. He just didn't stay in one place. He was out preaching, and the Bible says he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And he's out there proclaiming what today we would call the good news of the gospel. He's preaching or proclaiming. The gospel is to be preached or to be proclaimed. I think sometimes people forget that. The gospel is to be declared, in other words. The gospel is not something, we just tell a little story here and, whatever. No, the gospel needs to be preached or proclaimed. Christ, death, burial, resurrection, etc. It's to be proclaimed. That's what the Lord Jesus was doing. Why is that? So that sinners can be delivered from the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And Colossians talks about that, how when we get saved, we are brought into the kingdom of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus is out there preaching the glad tidings or the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 are with him. And the preaching today, as we would call it, would be again the preaching of the gospel. It's a simple message. John the Baptist preached it, in a sense. The Lord Jesus preached it. It's repentance and faith. Repentance in the Lord, turning to God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, believing on him and being saved, and thereby entering into the kingdom of God. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus: except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Except the man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. That's the simplicity of it. And that the 12 disciples were with him as he went about on his preaching tour, we might call it. Notice also there in verse 2 and 3, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. And so not only were the 12 disciples faithfully following, but there were certain women who followed as well. Again, the other night out in the prison, we were looking at something, and one of the men said, "Isn't it amazing? It seems the women seem more responsive than the men." I said, "Yeah, sometimes that's the case. The men have got a bigger pride problem than ladies generally. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm the man, women tend to be a little more submissive. That seems to be an observation. But notice also that they ministered under him their substance. In other words, they took care of his physical needs. These disciples and the women who followed him and others that followed took care of the Lord Jesus' physical needs. Those things, obviously food and all the things that went with that. But now in verse 4, "And when much people were gathered together and had come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." And a parable in simplicity is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning or a spiritual meaning. And a parable has one meaning. It illustrates one spiritual truth. Now, I emphasize that because sometimes you find people, they get into the parables and they come up with all sorts of strange doctrines. That's not what parables are about. Parables are not about this is how you build your doctrine. No, parables are to illustrate a spiritual truth. That's what they're there for. And they'll illustrate one spiritual truth. Now, you can make application, perhaps, but do that carefully, remembering there is one spiritual truth. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we go on. It's not for building doctrines. It's for illustrating doctrines. And so, though it come to the every city, spake by a parable. And we start to see this parable. Verse 5, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." Now, for us, that doesn't make a lot of sense, I guess, does it? Because we're used to driving around there, and you see these huge tractors with plows on the back, and out they go, and they go out and rip it all up, and then they, whatever they do. But back in the day, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. They would plow with oxen and so forth, and then they would go out, and they would sow the seed, and they would go out, and they'd have kind of like a bag there, and they would just throw out the seed as they go around. They'd go out and they would, as the Bible says there, they sowed seed. Now, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And so there was, the wayside would have been a path. Again, we've got to try and picture this. They didn't have all these fences and paddocks we have today. You see, they didn't have that. And so there would be certain paths that people would walk as they went to different places. And obviously that became a pathway. And so that soil would become very hard and trodden down. So you know what's going to happen, as the Lord says, that you throw the seed on there and all it does is sit on the surface. Now, if people continue to tread, if it's not all eaten straight away, then yes, it'll still be there. But because the ground's been so hardened by people walking up and down it, then it's just going to sit on the surface. It's not going to grow. And so what happens, the fowls of the air or the birds come along and say, thanks very much, I've got a free feed here. But then in verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now it's not saying there, you can do your own homework, it's not saying that here's some rocks lying on the ground and we drop some seed on it hoping it'll grow. Now if you look into that and do a little study, you find that what it's talking about is in some of those areas, the ground or the soil there was very shallow, and underneath there was a rock shelf or a rock bed. And so when you look at it, oh, that looks pretty good, you can see the soil. So you throw some seed on there, but underneath it's only very shallow, underneath is a rock bed. Okay, so that's the picture he's giving for us there. And then he says in verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Again, it's not as if the sower's going out and here's a big patch of thorns and he throws seeds in and hope for the best. The idea behind it is they've ploughed the ground, but what's happened, there's been some roots of some thorns left in the soil. And those roots are going to begin to revive, as it were, and develop into thorns again. So what happens? We throw out the seed. I'm going around with my bag and I throw it out. Soil looks pretty good, throw it out. But what I don't realise is there's some roots from some thorn bushes underneath, and they're going to start to grow soon along with the seed. And so what happens then? The thorns spring up with it and choke it out. The thorns are more... more powerful as a plant, and these little seeds that we're looking to grow, the thorns grow up and choke them out. That's what happens. Then he says, not only that, then we've got the other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. When he said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the news is not all bad. Some of it's not good. It falls by the wayside or falls on these pathways. Won't grow. Ground's too hard for it. Birds come and eat it. Some will go down into the shallow ground. That's all good. But because it's only very shallow, the roots can't grow down and get the sustenance they need, so they're not going to last. Some goes where the thorn roots were. They begin to grow and choke it out. That's what's happening. But he says, praise the Lord, some will go on good soil. And when that goes on the good soil, then it will bear fruit an hundredfold. Okay, so again, it's not all bad. So, what happens next? Well, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Remember, he's got this huge crowd of people. He says, now listen to what I'm saying. Okay? I've given you this illustration, and you, at this point it's a parable. So they don't know what he's talking about, in a sense. What's he driving at here? Okay, we've all seen it. You can go walk around outside the town there, and here are, you know, in the springtime when they're throwing the seed. We've all seen that. They throw it out. Yeah, we've seen what happens. Some gets eaten up, the birds, you can see them flock in. Here's the feed. Others goes on that ground, and some goes on the good ground. We know all that, and then sometimes you get a crop and sometimes you don't. Yeah. What's the point? He says, okay, take heed. Listen to what I'm about to say. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said, if you want to hear, I'll tell you. Basically, that's what he's saying. Because not everybody wants to hear, do they? They don't all want to hear. He says, if you got ears to hear, just listen, because I'll tell you what this means, what it's about. I'll tell you the truth that I want to get across to you. And I want us to have a look. Okay, so he goes on and says, verse 9, and his disciples asked him, what might this parable be? So, okay, Lord, tell us, what's this about? What's the parable about? And he said, well, unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, hearing they might not understand. Well, let's have a look in Matthew for a minute, Matthew chapter 13. So he speaks there of the parable too, about the sower and the seed and Likewise, in the book of Mark, we won't look in Mark tonight, but in Matthew, notice in Matthew, in chapter 13, and he talks again about the seed, and he talks there in verse 8, but other fell extra into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold. Notice he says here some 60 and some 30. Luke just mentioned the 100. Matthew says, no, there'll be different amounts, there'll be varying fruit, but there will be fruit. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath not, him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Well, he goes on, you go down to verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled. Notice this, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Right, so the prophet of old said one day when the Messiah comes, when Christ comes, he's going to speak in parables. He's going to give earthly stories which will highlight a spiritual truth. That's what he's going to do. But he said, by the way, these parables are said so that those who don't want to believe, those who won't listen, they will not understand what he's talking about. Now, in a sense, we say that we can see that, and remember where the nation of Israel was at this point in the Lord Jesus' day. It's a sign that God is bringing his judgment upon the nation. It's like, if you don't want to listen, okay, I'll speak to you in a way that you won't understand unless you want to hear. It's God's judgment upon the nation at that time. Well, have a look there again back in Luke. He said unto you, it is given to know, given unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. You say, well, what's the mystery? Well, the mystery in scriptural terms is something that was hidden from the Old Testament believers, but now revealed in the New Testament. Okay, and we'll look at some of those in a moment. But understand that these mysteries are not some mystery story. They're a truth that God didn't reveal clearly to the Old Testament saints. The basic truths are there, but after the Lord Jesus came, some of those things are now revealed in a much greater way and a much greater light. Okay, so what happens? Let's have a look at some of those mysteries. For example, let's have a look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul writes there to the church in Ephesus, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me, notice what he says, the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Oh, Paul, what are you talking about? There's a mystery. Yes. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Paul said there's something that was hidden to the Old Testament saints. Okay, they didn't fully comprehend this truth, but he said, let me tell you, here's what this mystery is. This is the truth we're now revealing, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So what's he talking about? In the Jewish mind, they are God's chosen people, full stop, end of story. Gentiles, dogs, finished. That's it. Paul said, now I want to show you a mystery. Listen, especially to you Jewish people, this is something you did not understand. And you do not understand at this point. So I'm going to tell you what it is. That the Gentiles now are going to be part of the body of Christ. There'll be no longer Jew or Gentile, bond or free, Greek, etc. We are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that is the truth that was hidden from them. And it's now revealed. Okay, you have a look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And speaking about our Lord Jesus, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Here's another mystery. What is it? In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We won't take time to dwell on it, but Paul says, here's a mystery. That God is now manifest in the flesh through the Lord Jesus. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Old Testament saints didn't understand that fully. Now, it was told them that would happen, for example, in Isaiah chapter 9, unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. The child is born, that's the humanity, unto you a son is given. That's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. This truth of God manifest in the flesh, as Paul put it when he wrote to Timothy. It was a mystery. They didn't understand it. They couldn't understand it. But Paul said it's now been revealed that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed God manifest in the flesh. Despite what the Jehovah's Witness will tell you, they'll say, look, the Lord Jesus, no, he was just a created being. He was actually a created being. He's a little God, yes, but he's not God. And their Bible version has been changed to that end. You read in John 1, in the beginning was a word. The word was with God and the word was a God. Sorry, that's not what it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus was God. And I remember talking to a Jehovah's Witness one time about that. And they said, look, what's happened there in your Bible is that you put the definite article there and you've said that Jesus is God. I said, well, for starters, the word the, which is the definite article, is not printed in that verse. And he said, well, see, there's no definite article in the Greek. I said, okay. I said, now let me tell you something. He said, what? I said, in your version it says the Lord Jesus, the word, is a God. Let me tell you, there's no indefinite article either. So why did you put it in there? Oh, because he's not God. I said, hang on, you added that. You've changed this mystery which was before hidden from the Old Testament saints. See what happens? Oh my. Very subtle. Very subtle, but very dangerous. Because if you don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, if you believe anything else about him, you can't get saved. Now you don't have to, I say this very, very carefully, you don't have to be able to give a 10-page thesis about God manifest in the flesh to be saved. You don't have to do that. But if you deny who the Lord Jesus is, you can't get saved. Doesn't matter. I believe he's a God who died on a cross. That won't get you saved. No, he's God manifest in the flesh who died on the cross for our sins. You see the difference. And so there's these mysteries that are now being revealed. And with 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said there, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Paul said, listen, there's coming a time when the Lord Jesus will come, and those believers who are on earth at that time will be caught up in the clouds in the air with the Lord, and so shall they ever be with the Lord, and it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He said, it's a mystery that the Old Testament saints didn't know about. The mysteries. Well, we come back to Luke. Understand a little better now, I trust, what mysteries are. Those things that weren't fully known in the Old Testament now revealed. And so we see what the Lord Jesus says there again in verse 10. He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. those things that hadn't been fully revealed. And by the way, in the Old Testament, people had to come to God through the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It wasn't that there's a one way of salvation in the Old Testament, just keep the law, and a new way in the New Testament. No. It says of Abraham, he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. It was his belief in the seed which God promised would come, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he became justified before God. In other words, he'd acknowledged his need of a saviour. He'd acknowledged the seed that would come, the Lord Jesus. Paul spoke about that to the Galatians. He would come. Abraham believed that, and God said, now I put to your account the righteousness of Christ. See, that's what happened when you get saved. God wipes out all your sins and then writes alongside that, justified, forgiven, sins taken away. It's a little bit like, use the illustration, I guess, if this was my life and every word in there represented a sin, when I come to that place of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, it's like God takes all that and throws it away. He puts it in the depths of the sea. He puts it as far as the east is from the west. And he gives me now, I'll say it carefully, a blank book and says, now this is you. Your sins are all forgiven and you are now washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are now pure. There's no sins left there anymore that you have to give account for one day. And thank God for that, amen. Oh my. It's good news. No wonder it's called the gospel or the good news. And so the mysteries of the kingdom, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, hearing they might not understand. And God says there's some who are not going to listen, and that's why I'm speaking in parables. He says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. It's like tonight. Listen, if you're not saved, there's only one way of salvation. That's through the Lord Jesus. You can try what you like. You can believe what you like, but there's only one way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the Lord goes on and helps us a little more about this now, because they ask him, what's it all about? Well, verse 11. Now the parable is this, and you've asked me, I'll tell you. The seed is the word of God. Okay? So here we've got this picture, first of all. There's a man there with his bag full of seed, and he's going out and throwing it out there. Some goes on that part, and some goes there and that, and some there and some that. So now, that seed is representative of the Word of God. Okay? And it's relevant to you and I, obviously. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, when he was writing to the believers, he says they were born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word is a living word. It will be around forever, and it's through hearing the word of God which gets planted in the heart of the individual, and if they'll receive it in a way that's in true repentance and faith, it'll bring forth fruit. So the seed is the word of God. Okay, then he goes on to tell them what he meant in that parable, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So he said, here's the first thing that happens. The seed goes out and someone listens to it, and the devil comes along and says, don't take your notes, that's rubbish. Or whatever. The devil comes along with his little lies maybe and says, don't worry about it. You've got plenty of time. You don't need to worry about it. Just think about it, maybe. Or whatever it is, and he takes the seed away. The seed's been sown, and the person's, as it were, listening in that sense, but their heart is like that path. It's hard. And the devil comes along and says, you're right, I wouldn't listen to that rubbish either. Or whatever it is, right. Talk to these atheists, and they are hard ground. The word of God can't penetrate. They've got the barriers up. You know, if there's a God, why does he allow that to happen, and why does he allow this to happen? Well, stop for a minute and listen to what the gospel is about. Yeah, but why does God do this? You see what's happened? The devil comes along and puts his little story in there. If God's real, why would he allow that? Come on, what a joke. Yeah, I agree. And the word of God just bounces away, takes it away by the devil. That's the hard ground. He takes it, notice, takes it out of their hearts. They've heard it, but the devil says, no, don't listen to it. And so they don't. They don't get saved. Well, what happens next? They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. What happens? Some people, they hear the gospel. They hear of Christ's death, burial, resurrection. Sounds good to them. Man, they're excited. Man, I've never heard anything like this before. This is wonderful. Woohoo! Come on, what do I have to do? Just pray a prayer. Okay, what do I have to pray? Dear Jesus, please save me. Amen. Please save me. Amen. I'm saved. Yoo-hoo, little beauty. They're all excited. But the problem is the seed can't take root there. It can't take root there. Why? Because it's very shallow. And there's this emotional response, but that's all it is. It's an emotional response. And you see, if it's just an emotional response, then that's not salvation, is it? You say, oh, that's wonderful. What a good way. I never heard that before. I just want to be, you know, whatever. If it's just an emotion, see, it's salvation is of God. But God says, remember to the nation of Israel, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and they shall be white as wool. That's what will happen. But God says, I want you to think about this. You're a sinner. I'm God. I'm telling you there's a penalty. If you don't receive my way of salvation, then you have no salvation and you will spend eternity in hell. God says, let's reason together. It's not, oh, I just had this wonderful feeling. You know, you hear about people. You know, they go to some church and they go forward and they fall over and they get or knocked over, whatever happens. They go, oh, I just had this wonderful experience. Oh, it was so magnificent. Are you saved? What do you mean? I remember talking to a young man, he'd been to one similar to that, except as a Christian concert, and it was thumping and banging and carrying on there. And I spoke to him later on. He would have been probably 15, 16, maybe something like that. And I said, you know, you went to that concert, what happened? I said, did you go forward? They gave an invitation. Almost all the young people came running forward. They're all, yeah. I said, what happened? Did you get saved? He just looked at me and said, what? I said, did you get saved? He said, oh, I don't know. I said, what was it about? Oh, well, he said, well, he said, I just felt something, I don't know. He said, just felt something good came into me. So are you saved? Huh? He had no idea. He had a nice little emotional experience, which wasn't salvation. Just shallow ground. He's not really thinking about it. I don't think the gospel message was preached anyway. It's just come to Jesus. Jesus wants to save you. God loves everybody. That sort of a message. There was no, listen, you need to repent of your sin. You need to turn to God. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ based on his death, his burial, his resurrection. If you don't do that, then you'll be lost forever. They don't preach that message. Just God loves everybody. You know, ask Jesus in your heart. Dear Jesus, come in my heart. Amen. Woohoo! Had a big experience. That's not salvation. That's the problem. And so what happens is just that. There's just very shallow ground. There's a bit of excitement there, but there's no root there. And so a bit of pressure comes along. And guess what? See ya. Bye. You don't see him again. And what happened to that young man? You know what he said to me? He said, I'll tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, you know really why I went forward? I said, well, I'm interested. He says, because they were offering free Bibles. And he said, I thought I'd go forward and get one for my mum. You know what those people would have done? There's another convert. He wasn't saved. shallow ground. A bit of excitement at the time because they're rocking and rolling. You know, the drummer's up there with no shirt on and he's bashing away. And they're all jumping and clapping and swinging around the place. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, having a big time. Not salvation there. Shallow ground. Shallow ground. Well, and notice what happens next in there in verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this world and bring no fruit to perfection. Now they've heard it as well. And out they go. They've heard the message. But what happens? It's not Satan this time. It's the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life that choke out the word. Some of you heard me tell a story when I was just a young Christian. I was cutting lawns and I was doing this lady's lawn for her. I'd finished it. I went to the front door and she came out to pay me. And the Lord gave me opportunity to talk to her about the Lord and share the gospel with her. She began to get teary and you could see that God was really starting to work in her heart. And then almost out of nowhere she said, "Oh, you know, I've got a daughter who's got some serious problems." So obviously I've got to listen to that. And we talked about that. I said, but don't forget what we're talking about here. You need salvation for yourself. If you want to help your daughter, the best way to help her is for you to get saved and then you'll be able to tell her what the answers for life are. But even though she stood there weeping, she said, "No, all I can think about is my daughter." What happened? The cares of this world choked out the word. The cares of the world. And I can understand why she's concerned for a daughter, and so she ought to be as a mother. But what happened is what the Lord Jesus said will happen sometimes. The cares of this world just choke it out. You know what he says there? And riches. Riches. Reminds us of the story of the rich young ruler the Lord Jesus spoke, didn't he? So this rich young ruler came to the Lord and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "Well, let me tell you something. First of all, young man, there's none good except God. Only God's good. Why? Because he's a good young man himself. What do I have to do? Well, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" "Well, you know, don't do this, don't do that." Gave him a few. So "I've done all that since I was a young man." Lord says, "Very good. Okay, one more thing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to sell everything you've got, give it away, and come and follow me." And what does the Bible say? That young man went away sorrowful. The Lord Jesus, the Bible said, loved him and watched him go away sorrowful. Why? The riches of this world choked out the word of God. He'd rather have his riches than trust Christ as his Saviour and yield his life to him. A lot of people like that. I've spoken to some of the wealthiest people in this town over the years and they're exactly the same. They're holding on to their riches. In recent days, some of the wealthiest people, God's given me the privilege to talk to them, and they're all hanging on to their riches. Can't even get them to come to church. Why? Because they're holding on to their riches. And when you talk to them and you share the word of God and you give them tracts, the love of riches chokes out the word. And not only that, the pleasures of this life. "Yeah, I'm big name sportsman. I ain't got time to mess around with this stuff. I'm busy, you know, having great fun." Chokes out the word. But you need to listen. You know, when you get to heaven, it won't matter how many goals you kick, buddy. It will matter, though, whether you trusted Christ as your Saviour. But what's happening? The pleasures, the fame, all that the world offers. We don't need God. Well, the Lord says that's what will happen. And you and I, we can relate to all these things, I'm sure, if we've been saved for any length of time. But bless God, that's not all bad news. Verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." They don't just hear the word, as the other 3 had done, they hear it and they respond, they keep it. They respond to the word of God. In other words, if you were here tonight and you said, look, I'm not a Christian, but I'd like to be, you say, what do I have to do? Well, there's nothing you have to do in a sense. You can't do anything to get right with God, except you can do one thing. That's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what you can do. You say, what does that mean? That means you have to repent. That means you believe that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for a sinner like you on the cross, that was God's payment for your sin, that God then allowed him to be buried on the third day, raised him physically and bodily from the grave, and if you will keep that, if you will receive that, you can be saved tonight. It's really that simple. So it's not what we do in that sense, but we do have to believe. It's not just an emotional experience. It's not just some, I just got slain in the spirit, big deal. I have to check which spirit it was. It wasn't the Spirit of God. But notice also here he says, having heard, they keep it and bring forth fruit. Now, remember what we saw in Matthew, some 100-fold, some 60 and some 30. In other words, let me say this. When someone gets saved, everybody's going to be a little different. Okay, everybody's a little different. Our personalities come into it, various things come into it. So not everybody's going to be a Spurgeon, for example, who preached to 6,000 plus people every Sunday for however many years. Had to have the police there every Sunday to control the crowds. They were so big there in London. Not everybody could get in. Sometimes you'd ask people not to come at night so that at least different ones could come in during the day, all that sort of thing. Now, see, there's 100-fold, we'll say. But not everybody's like that. Not everybody's that. But I will say this. When we are saved, there will be fruit. Amen? There will be fruit. You cannot not be saved and not have fruit. And by the way, it'll be good fruit. It won't be just fruit that says, yeah, I believe in God now. That's not fruit. That's still back in the shallow ground. The fruit is we go from darkness to light. We go from death to life. And Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians, said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things now become new. So we're totally different. Now we're still the same person. Seems a bit of a contradiction, doesn't it? We're still the same person. We're a different person. Why? Because God has done a work on the inside. You see, religion works on the outside. Religion says, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to go to our Bible studies, you need to get baptized in our church, the list goes on. And so it's outward. And many will say, we did this, we did that, and Lord said, I never knew you. But what God does, he does the work on the inside. He changes the inside. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new desire. He gives us new thoughts. He gives us all that is new. And then that is seen on the outside. If you could look at some of our lives a few years back and where we are today, there's been quite a change, amen, to the glory of God. Because of we're going to be good people from now on. No. No. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. So when it falls on the good ground, there will be fruit and it will be observable to those looking on. Now, yes, there's struggles, yes, there's challenges, all that as well. But the fruit is there. That there's a person who is saved. Amen. So the Lord says there's good news here. When you sow that seed, and let's put it this to encourage us, not to discourage us. And we know it anyway, but sometimes we can get discouraged. You know, I talked to that person, they weren't interested. I tried to talk to that, they wouldn't listen. Well, see, that's what it's like. That's what it's like. It's only the minority that really will listen and respond to the gospel. Few there be, straight as a gate, few that enter in. A broad, wide is the path that leads to destruction. Many go down there. Why? Because you've got hard ground. Devil gets in there. That you've got this shallow ground, have some little emotional experience, but not really believing. And then you've got the cares of this world, the riches, and then you've got the pleasure of life choking out the word. But then there's the good seed on the good ground. And by the way, the seed's always good. I don't know about you, but sometimes you plant a seed. This year, digress a little, I planted some beans. They're dwarf beans, yellow beans. Beautiful they are. Magnificent. Every year I keep some and then just replant them, do all that. And this year I planted them all out as normal, all good. Guess how many came up? None. So are you joking? Must have been the weather or something. I know what I'll do. I'll replant it. I replanted. Guess how many came up? None. Well done. No beans this year from that lot. What am I saying? The word of God's not like that. The word of God is good seed. It's not the seed that the problem is. It's the soil where the problem is. For me, the seed was the problem when it comes to beans. But when it comes to the gospel, the seed's good. Amen. It's the soil where the problem lies. Is it hard soil? Sometimes you're going to find people like that, some old atheist or whatever, just hard. Doesn't mean we shouldn't talk to them. God could still soften them, amen. But at that point, they're just hard. Others will be, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. So what happened to that person? I spoke, I prayed with them, and I haven't seen them for the last 6 months. Shallow ground. Shallow ground. And then others. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but what will my friends say? Cares of this world. Who cares what your friends say? Oh, I care, because what happens? You know what? I'll be honest with you. When you get saved, generally what happens, within the first 2 years at least, you will lose almost every friend you had. Not because you want to get rid of them, but you want them to get saved. And so you tell them, and they don't want to hear. You know, the two men in our wedding party, best man and the groomsman, when we got saved, I thought, oh, wow. I need to talk to them. Guess how long since I've spoken to them? About 36 years. Because when I started talking about the Lord, they said, very good, mate, very good. One of them said, don't call me, I'll call you. I spoke to him, shared the gospel with him. I gave him a tract and said, listen, mate, you need to get a hold of this. I was going to go for a run with him next week. I ring him up. He said, listen, don't ring me. I'll ring you in the future, okay? What was that rubbish you gave me to read? I said, it wasn't rubbish. He said, you're having a go at me. I said, no, I wasn't. I was just there for you to read. Man, he got mad. See you later. Bye. That's how it is. But sometimes people don't get saved because of what will their friends or family say. What is it? The cares of this world. They don't want to be seen to be different. Well, I can understand that. But they need to think about eternity's hinging on this. Where I'm going to spend eternity hinges on whether I'm right with God, whether I've trusted Christ as my Saviour. And I've had other people say, well, if my family would come, then I'd come. That's foolishness as well. Salvation is not something you push on people. You've got to lead them. And that's what I said to this lady. I said, you need to get saved, then you'll be able to help your daughter. It's no use saying, well, I want my daughter to come too. Well, if she doesn't want it, then what are you going to do? You see what we're saying? But when someone's saved, there's fruit. There's fruit. But sometimes we just have to be a little careful to wait and see where there is fruit and whether the fruit's lasting. Is it just a shallow ground experience? Is it someone who's just got some cares and woes, and this looks like a way to solve my problems, but they're not really wanting to get saved? They just want their problems taken care of, because then they can go back and do what they were doing. It's a bit like Pharaoh, isn't it? Pharaoh, we're going to deal with you. Oh, please don't. Okay, we'll call off the plague. Back what he was doing before. Some people like that. They want the problems taken away, but they don't want to get right with God. Not really. They just want God to fix their problem, and then they just carry on what they were doing before. That's not right. That's not right. Let's see if there's some fruit. And so, primarily, this teaching is what happens when you get the gospel of the kingdom out. Amen. But I'll just say this in closing: sometimes as believers, we fall into some of these categories as well. We hear the word of God about it, so we don't like it. We can harden ourselves. Sometimes, yeah, I heard it, but we forget it straight away. And sometimes we've got all these problems. Yeah, Lord, I know what you want, but I've got all these problems in the world. I haven't got to. Lord says, just casting all your care in him, for he careth for you. Just hand it over to me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'll take care of it for you. But we get a little bit like that. You know how we ought to be? Just good soil. Amen? Good soil. Now, it might be 30, might be 60, might 100-fold, but whatever it is, to God be the glory. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you for the Word of God. It is the seed. It is a living Word. It's not just some dead printed page. It is the living Word of God. The Spirit of God takes that Word, applies it to the hearts of individuals. Fathers, we've seen tonight there's various responses that we can see. And we've all seen it, Lord, in a sense. There's the hard, there's the shallow. There's all the cares and the problems and the love of money and pleasures. But Father, thank God there is the good soil, and we can bear testimony of that tonight, Lord. For those of us who here have trusted Christ as their Saviour, our lives are an example of what salvation is about, a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're thankful for that, Father. To God be the glory. It's not what we've done. It's all that you've done. It's by your grace. And Father, maybe there's someone tonight, if they were honest, they would have to say, well, I can't be sure that I'm good soil yet, but I hear the message. If I'm going to be real honest, I'd have to say I'm not saved. But tonight, as I think about what's been said, I believe God's speaking to me. And tonight I want to trust the Lord Jesus, my Saviour. Maybe that's you tonight. And if it is, let me encourage you to talk to someone before you leave and get the matter settled. Don't let the devil come along and pluck away the word. Don't let the concerns of the world choke it out. Don't just look for some emotional experience, but come to the foot of the cross, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved this night. And you'll be eternally thankful if you do that. So Father, again, we thank you for tonight. And Lord, we do pray that we would be faithful sowers of the word, the seed, which is the word of God. And we give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.